Greetings. This is Malcolm with the Healthcare Think Tank. I just wanted to let everyone know, due to a technical glitch, we're starting about a minute into the presentation. So we're picking it up just as Morris is describing some of the features of his robot.
There were different hospitals and companies that were producing basically devices that used mercury light bulbs, which I happen to have here too. We'll just kind of bring this in front for a second. Can you all see that right there?
Yeah.
That's literally, this thing has 28 mercury light bulbs, and hospitals were using this to disinfect their facilities. And the founders said two different things. They said one, I don't know if y'all could see this, but they do a tremendous amount of damage to the facility. So I don't know if you can see this, but the robot itself has turned itself yellow down here, and that's kind of like when we were growing up, what cars might have done when you'd see the cracked dashes and things like that. And the other interesting part of this was that a mercury robot only broadcast at a single wavelength, whereas a pulse xenon lamp is 4,000 times more intense at the wavelength, the same wavelength as a mercury device, and it's infinitely more intense across the disinfecting spectrum because we go everywhere. And their intuition was that you could use this, bring it into hospitals, and reduce the infection rates. And I'm a bit of a skeptical investor, and I basically said, okay, we need to prove that. They took it to a lab in Round Rock. They were from Houston. I wanted it done somewhere else. They went to Round Rock right near Austin, right near Dell. And the guy that ran the test, and we didn't really have a deal, but we tested against 2,000 different samples of pathogens. And the guy who runs the lab, who I know very well now, his name is Ben. Ben calls me and he's like, are you the guy that paid for the test? And I said, yes. And he says, okay, I worked at Clorox for 6 years. And this is the best disinfecting thing I've ever seen, ever. And I said, okay, got it. This is very interesting. When we went out to sell it to hospitals, we had 28 prototype devices that we built. They weren't nearly as sophisticated as this, but they did have the same bulb, and we thought they would work. And basically every hospital that we called on said, do you have a peer-reviewed published study? And after three of these sales calls, I had to ask the founders, what is a peer-reviewed published study? And they said, oh, that's like something that goes into the Journal of the American Medical Association or New England Journal of Medicine, one of these medical journals that basically it gets reviewed by physicians and other scientists and say, okay, the science is valid, you can rely on it. After those calls, I basically said to the founders, I'm like, look, unless you have one of those peer-reviewed studies, we'll do the Melissa quotes there, you'll never sell anything into a hospital because they're not gonna believe you. Mm-hmm. So the founders went back to MD Anderson because they're from Houston. And I was okay with that. And MD Anderson ran their own study, and they proved that it was 22 times better than manual housekeeping. And it's really not that hard to believe that, because if I look at the, I don't know if there's a timer on here on the meeting, but if you pretend that that's part of a, like a tray table in a hospital, and I was to say, okay, I'm gonna start disinfecting this with chemicals. So as I'm talking, I'm just going to run by hand, and imagine I have a rag in there. Basically, I need to keep this surface completely soaked with cleaner and rub it for 10 minutes in order to get the chemistry to work. Now, right now, I'm just doing this on a simple piece of basically a notepad, but in the hospital, they've got bed rails, they've got tray tables, they've got nightstands. You're asking housekeepers, who are some of the hardest working human beings on earth, to do a task that's not possible in a half hour, okay? So that's really the problem, is that you're asking them to do something in a half hour that can't be done, and all of the studies that appeared before we got involved in this showed that the housekeepers typically miss 50% of the surfaces, okay? And that just means, you know, a housekeeper has that bed rail, they take a rag, they soak it in bleach, and they do a good job of rubbing it like this until all of the, it looks clean, and then they move on to something else, not really understanding or comprehending that literally for bleach to work, it takes 10 minutes, okay? This is, if y'all look at your household cleaners, I did this the other day with somebody and they had a Lysol wipe and they're like, oh, I am being so careful on the airplanes, Morse, you don't know. And they took the Lysol wipe and they showed me and I said, let's look on the back of the bottle. We turned the bottle around. It's a 4-minute wet dwell time. And I did this demonstration with them and they were like, oh my gosh, I just thought you had to wipe it on and wipe it off to disinfect. And I'm like, no, it's literally 4 minutes on all of these little surfaces. And when I say wet, I mean like wet as if you just got out of the pool and you're dripping on the tiles on the edge of your pool wet, okay? So that's the problem. So we go into MD Anderson. They proved that it was 22 times better. They also proved that you didn't have to do housekeeping in the room, that you could just run the robot and it would do the disinfection, whether somebody actually cleaned it or not. And that's when I said, okay, this is really interesting. The next step was we went to a Mass General hospital and they said, so, you know, you're trying to reduce infection rates. And my question to the founders was, what is your mission? Like, what do you want to accomplish if I'm willing to back you in this business? And Julie, who was this wonderful woman, looks at me with these steely blue eyes and she goes, Morris, 2 million Americans a year get these infections and 100,000 people die. That's 274 people a day. And she's like, we have to stop the pain and suffering that's caused by these infections and stop the death. And I was like, okay, I got it. Like, you're not going to ignore Julie. And I said, okay. So we go out to this Mass General Hospital. We deploy a robot. And they asked me, they said, well, what do you think? And I said, look, I don't know what it will do in terms of infection rate reduction for you, but I know you've shared with us that you have 80 infections a year. Right? So you go, well, is 80 good or bad? And I say, well, it's 12 months, so it's about 6 a month. So for a 200-bed hospital, I mean, showing of hands out there, do you think 6 a month is high or low for 200 beds? Like low, high? Give me thumbs up or thumbs down. Come on, Deborah. This is interactive. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
I'm going to say bad.
Low? That sounds low? Okay, low. Okay. So we go in there. Thank you. And Deborah participated. I appreciate that.
I'm in.
Yeah. So we go into this hospital. About 90 days later, we see the doctor who bought the robots. And we had predicted, all I said to her is, I said, look, if you can get rid of 4 infections, and the infections typically cost about $10,000 each, you'll pay for your use of the robot for the year. I think there's a good chance we can get rid of 4 infections, right, in a year. I see her after 90 days and she goes, Mr. Miller, you're the CEO? Yes. And she says, okay, in the fourth quarter, we would have expected to have 18 infections. Okay. So 6 a month sounds kind of familiar, like what I just said. And she says, we had 2. Wow. And those were in rooms that we didn't get to with your light strike robot.
Wow.
And that's when I went back to the founders and I said, okay, that's at an approximately 72% reduction, far more efficacy than we ever imagined. And the founder, to his credit, Mark, the husband, he's like, Morris, time out. He's like, in 90 days, you might've gotten lucky. He's like, you're gonna have to let this run for over a year to see whether the infection rate reduction was sustained. And thankfully it was. Similarly, after we finished the original proof work at MD Anderson, the founder said to me, they're like, okay, well, typically when a hospital does this much work, you end up leaving the robots with them. And I said, okay, Mark, Julie, if they don't buy the robots, I don't really know whether they believe their study or not. If I found something that improved my gas mileage by 22 times, I can tell you, I would buy it again. So I really want to take the robots away from MD Anderson and see what they do. And they reluctantly agreed. And fortunately, MD Anderson bought one and then a second and then a third and a fourth. I mean, and this is in rapid succession. They got up to 7. They're still adding robots to this day. And that told me they actually believed what they published. After I saw what this Massachusetts did with a 72% reduction, I felt like, okay, this is getting really serious. That's when I quit all of my other venture capital work. We had bought a company called golfballs.com. We still own golfballs.com. We sell more golf balls and golf equipment online than anybody in the world. That's a very fun thing. this is really serious. And for the last decade, I think Linda will verify, I have beat my head against the wall one hospital at a time to get them adopt. The good news is hospitals like the Mayo Clinic followed in the exact same footsteps as MD Anderson. So they bought 3 robots. They ran a trial for a year. They saw about a 60% difference in infection rates between the units that had LightStrike and the ones that didn't. Then they said, okay, we're going to buy a dozen robots for one facility. They ran those for about a year. The infection rate stayed low. Then they did it in 2 hospitals. And at the same time, they were testing against the mercury devices that I showed you before, and they had no reduction. And it was really after 4.5 years, this is back in the spring, that they finally said to us, congratulations, we are exclusively a Xenex customer, and literally every single Mayo Clinic facility in this country has multiples of our robots. Same thing at Stanford, same thing at MD Anderson, same thing at USC, same thing at Sharp, Texas Health Resources in Dallas. Honor Health is a great small hospital system, 5 hospitals in Scottsdale. Todd LaPorte, the CEO there, really became intrigued with it. A lot of his donors gave them money, just foundation donors gave them money to buy robots. They disinfect 92% of their discharge rooms. So this is just when a patient leaves. It's kind of like a hotel room cleaning your room when you check out. They disinfect 92% of those rooms, 85% infection rate reduction. Okay, so we know, as a matter of course now, we have 35 of those peer-reviewed studies, 15 of those are infection rate reduction studies, and all of them are similar. So we have one hospital, they disinfect 22% of the rooms, they get a 20% reduction. Another hospital disinfects 73% of the rooms, they get a 70% reduction. So basically, we can compare. And if somebody says, well, we're hovering at about a 50% reduction, I can tell you with almost exact certainty they're disinfecting about 55% of their rooms. We just did an 87,000 room trial in conjunction with the National Institute of Health. They got 84% of those discharge rooms. My guess is that will have about a 78 to 82% infection rate reduction. We're expecting those results to be reported soon. That's a 4-year long study. And in that one, it was interesting because this is called a randomized controlled study. So the robot, if you look at it right here, this looks like glass, but it's actually quartz. Quartz allows UV light to go through it. So in this study, in one of the hospitals, we had quartz. And in the other hospital, we had glass. Glass completely blocks UV light. We ran them for a year. Then for 6 months, we put glass in both sets of robots, and we continued to run them. And the housekeepers didn't know anything about this. And then after that 6 months, we switched. And now we put quartz on this side, quartz on this side. That's called a randomized controlled trial with a crossover and a 6-month washout period. We're very excited. We had no idea, but literally the close of that study in the middle of this COVID crisis was yesterday. So we're sitting on the edge of our seats, and you kind of look at like, how does timing happen? And the answer is, I don't know.
Morris, I'd also like to say you're at UHS in San Antonio, and I'm on the board there. And I've been through the hospital, and you see his robots roaming through the halls. They're taking him from room to room, especially in the transplant area, because they are so compromised. Their health is so compromised after having a transplant. And so they keep them up there permanently. So I wanted to mention that.
Thank you. Yeah, so if you've been tracking what's going on with the COVID crisis, Italy has been really hard hit. In some places, the mortality rate has been between 2% and 3%. In Italy, it's closer to 9%. The New England Journal of Medicine published an article a week ago, Monday, and they said that in Bergamo, Italy, there's a hospital there that would be the envy of any city, brand new, beautiful surfaces. And there was one sentence in there that caught our attention where they basically said that the hospital had become the agent of infection. Basically, the hospital has pathogens everywhere. And if you go in there, there's a fair chance that you're going to get the infection from the environment, which is exactly what we've seen in our 500 plus hospitals, because all they do is treat the surfaces and the areas, and their infection rates plummet. So I don't think that most Americans understand how bad what's happening in our hospitals is. In New York, they're not properly disinfecting the hospital. You may see a drop in pathogens over the next few weeks as testing gets up to the level, but these pathogenic hospitals are going to continue to infect people. We would normally expect Italy to order approximately 5 robots a quarter. They bought in the last 3 weeks of the first quarter, they bought 27. Today they bought 50. We've basically seen 3 years worth of adoption by hospitals in about 4 weeks. Normally I think you celebrate when your business grows. In this case, and I don't know the word, but it's kind of like, it's sort of humbling to see your business grow in the way that you've expected it to, but for the wrong reasons. Now, long-term, we know that we'll be able to redeploy these robots towards fighting the regular superbugs that kill so many people every day in the United States. So we think that that's good. We've also seen a huge amount of adoption in the VA hospitals. We've traditionally, up until about 4 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, we had 55. I think that number is close to 75. So almost all of the VA hospitals have their full complement of robots. We've offered robots to help disinfect the naval cruiser that has the coronavirus positive patients, where that captain just got terminated. Y'all may have read about that in the paper. And this is a situation where literally we're on the phone with the generals, with the admirals, with the White House almost every day talking about what needs to be done. We've seen adoption, Melissa mentioned, in hotels around the country, and we're happy to accommodate them. I think one of the questions that arises frequently is people will say, well, okay, I don't really understand what the difference is between your technology and the other one. So we did this just before the meeting, and I'll just kind of walk you through this. This is a photograph that I show. I don't know if you can see this, but this is a pathogen called Listeria. So right here, this is control. This is after 10 minutes of traditional mercury UV light, like you see in that big tower that I pulled over. That's 3 minutes of pulsed xenon, where the cell is destroyed. But that's at 200 microns magnification. Down below it, you'll see E. coli. I'm trying to get it out of the shadow. So this is E. coli control, 10 minutes, 3 minutes of pulse xenon. So the pulse xenon is incredibly destructive, and it works well. Astonishingly, you know, we're always arguing between the mercury companies and ourselves, and it's like we've known for a number of years that this is significantly better. On a mercury website, and we're being very careful, so I'm going to share it with you all first, but we were looking at, because we tracked the competitors' websites, and literally last night it appeared on there. This is on a competitor website. I'm just going to read it. Literally, word for word, you can see I'm just reading. You can't really see that, but that's off their website. UV mercury is the more traditional UV source, right? It's been around for a long time, 100 years, that uses an electric arc inside an ionized gas chamber, which then emits photons after the atoms decay, producing a steady stream of light. Got it? So that's like the old way, steady stream of light. UV xenon, on the other hand, releases pulses of energy as opposed to a steady stream, because you're storing it. After storing the electrical charge in a capacitor, the energy emits in millisecond pulses that renders germs and pathogens unable to reproduce or repair. And again, this is on the competitor's website, as the photons are more powerful. I'm like, okay, this is getting as close as I've seen a competitor. So then they go on to talk about UVA, UVB, and UVC. Those are three different wavelengths of UV light. And then this is astonishing. Literally, again, I don't know how y'all react to this. I'll be interested to hear. But they go, of the three UVC lights, of the three UVs, UVC is the most powerful and effective when it comes to killing pathogens in the operating rooms. Okay. Test after test has conclusively determined that xenon-powered ultraviolet light is more effective and efficient at disinfecting the operating rooms. And I'm like, okay, they go on. On average, a xenon UV robot will complete a disinfection cycle in around 10 times less the amount of time. For example, a mercury robot, 60 minutes would be approximately 6 minutes for a xenon robot. So I sent this off to one of the advertising lawyers that I deal with all the time. And I'm like, they have instructions on their website to publicize this. This was put out on their blog. And what I think happened is I think one of their advertising associates was making a blog and they decided to do a comparison of mercury versus Xenex. And they actually published the truth in a way that a competitor never does. And I told my fiance who works for a bank, this would be like Broadway Bank putting on their website, we highly recommend that you talk to Frost Bank because their rates are lower, they're faster at closing loans, and their customers are happier. I mean, it's like, I've never seen anything like this, and yet it's truthful. So we're debating what to do about that, but that just happened this morning, so I'm sharing it with you. It's kind of, you never know what will happen. So you have COVID hitting, you have the end of this four-year study that happens to be at the pinnacle of the COVID infections, and then you have a competitor actually telling the truth for the first time in a decade. I don't know as a businessman how it can get any better. So anyway, so it's kind of better and it's worse at the same time. I think, you know, we would typically expect to sell 150 robots a year. We literally sold 80 robots yesterday, and the volume just keeps growing. And the only, I think, sad thing is that the hospital should have done this as we've been explaining it to them over the past decade. So I'm pleased that we have something that can help them, that will help the patients. It will disinfect these hospitals. It'll help change the trajectory of the infection. So for that reason, I'm very humbled and proud. I wish we could make them even faster and get more broad adoption. So I thank you all. That's really just a summation of what we're doing. Thank you for having me, Linda, Melissa, Malcolm, and I'm happy to answer any questions that y'all have.
Let me ask one question. How many countries are you in now since this?
So we're in about 15 countries, Italy, France, UK, South Africa. We've had a lot of adoption in Japan, Thailand, Singapore, Canada, United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, Spain. Spain is having a tremendous problem. We've had a long-term partner over there, Ecuador, Mexico. So anyway, so I don't know exactly
China?
How many that is.
China?
You know, when the COVID crisis started, we offered 20 robots to China, and I actually had a connection to the niece of the president of China through a friend at Stanford. And we offered, and literally we couldn't, they like wouldn't take us up on it. And then before I knew it, UHS needed, they had some areas that they hadn't disinfected. Some of the physicians and nurses got sick there. They requested additional robots, so we loaned them robots. Then the city of San Antonio needed robots. Then the Texas Emergency Management Center asked for robots. Then the governor's office asked for robots. And then I was requested by institutions in Washington, D.C. to reserve a number of robots. As a result of that, basically the 20 have been sort of donated to other places. And we're literally, production is going as fast as it can to satisfy the people that have ordered them.
Morris, how long does it take you to build one robot? How many hours, days, months?
You know, it's a little bit, What we're doing is, you know, we order parts. So we order cases and we order wheels and we order lift rails and then we order frames and different things. And then we're putting it all together. So it's all made to our specs. So the actual assembly time is probably only 8 to 16 hours on that stuff. But it literally takes the supply chain weeks to make cable assemblies and, you know, basically computer boards, printed circuit boards, and other things. So it's a long process in order to get down to that final assembly. Interestingly, here in San Antonio, Toyota has been very generous with their time to come over. And when I told them, you know, we're trying to ramp up from, you know, 24 a month to 1,000 a month, I said, so what do y'all think? And these Toyota people laughed at me. And they literally go, you know, we don't want to be arrogant, but, you know, we make 267,000 trucks a year in our San Antonio factory that are all different. You'd like to make 1,000 to 4,000 robots a month in your factory that are all the same. That's not a problem. And they've been very generous to help us.
Are you still doing it out of the area that I've seen, or have you had to expand into additional area?
We've expanded. We're in the same footprint and in the same service center. We moved part of the warehousing across the street. We moved some of the sub-assembly across the street, but we're still doing the mega assembly in the same place, and we just put up more lines. You also do things like we've gone from one individual working on one robot and building the whole thing to literally moving into a assembly line format where the robot, you know, one person does the first 5 steps and then the next person does the next 10 steps and on down the line to speed it up. So the good thing about lean manufacturing is it's very efficient. The bad thing about just-in-time and lean manufacturing is you don't keep a lot of inventory on hand, and that can restrict your ability to get these things out. So we're really pushing our supply chain as hard as we can to maximize the number of robots we can produce.
Hey, Morris, it's Frank Hughes. I had a question. You hiring salespeople?
You know, not really, because I think we're hiring customer service people, at least in theory, to get these out there, but you can't really go into the hospitals right now. So a lot of the installation, we've always been very prideful or had a lot of pride in the fact that we unpack the robots, we bring, you know, we set up the robots, we analyze the facility, and now our account managers are doing almost all of that remotely because the hospitals won't let you in unless you're a patient. So the selling, this is interesting. A lot of the sales, even though they're extremely high, are coming from the customers who we've been interacting with over the 4 years, and they're finally just deciding to pull the trigger versus, you know, just random sales out of nowhere. So it does turn out that developing long-term strategic relationships, as frustrating as they were, end up being beneficial. That's right, Melissa. End up being beneficial when they need the product. And they know, look, part of the reason why I laughed so hard when I saw that posting on the competitor website is like, I know that they've known it's superior for almost 6 years, and it's just been so aggravating to hear them deny it and to hear them accidentally post it. It's just kind of, I don't know, it's like music to my ears.
Are you in New York? Are you helping them out in New York?
We've had some, I think I've got like 20 hospitals in New York. Some of the hospitals in New York City, Weill Cornell, they bought robot, New York Presbyterian bought robots from us years ago. So one hospital bought 4, and we gave them protocols. And then they said, oh, you know, we're moving them to our different campuses. And we're like, you're not going to disinfect enough rooms to bring down the pathogen load to drop the infection rates. And they kind of told us, you know, we're going to do what we want to do. And so now they're coming back in the face of this epidemic and pandemic. And they're saying, okay, how many robots did you say we need? Because when you look at our customers like Queen of the Valley in the Bay Area, they've had robots. They had coronavirus positive patients. We gave them aggressive protocols to bring down the pathogen load. They haven't had a spread within the hospital. New York Presbyterian who didn't listen, they're having big problems.
Mm-mm. Any other questions?
Hey, Morris, it's Mark with...
Go ahead, Malcolm.
No, go ahead.
Hey, Morris, it's Mark Clages with ComData. Great presentation, by the way. I have a couple of questions. Number one has to do with the actual use of the robot. And in a healthcare situation, deploying it to an individual room where a patient is, does the patient have to be in out of the room, or can the machine work with somebody sitting in their bed in a room?
Good question.
Is it harmful to humans that light?
So we have a sign outside my office. The way that I've always judged success is how many rooms have we disinfected, how many infections have we prevented, and how many lives can we say? So we've run 22 million as of yesterday, 22,283,000 rooms disinfected. We know statistically that that's prevented about 450,000 infections and saved 43,000-ish lives. Almost all of those cycles are run in rooms where nobody is in the room. And the reason why it's important to know the 22 million number is that if you can do 22 million rooms without any adverse exposures, that tells you that our safety systems are pretty good. On the back of every robot, we have this cone, and it's got a Doppler radar that measures both movement and heat in the room so that we know whether something's going on. We also have protocols, like of those 87,000 rooms in that trial that I just mentioned, I'm going to say a third of those rooms were multi-occupancy rooms. That's a room that has maybe four patients in it, maybe eight patients in it that are just sharing it. We don't recommend that, but they have them. And so we have these patented curtains that you can put up around a bed when it's vacated. We can bring the robot on the other side of the curtain, and then we can disinfect that patient area without exposing all of the patients around them. If they did that in individual rooms, if they had a curtain right around the patient, we could do it in there too, but they don't. So typically in a single patient room, we disinfect when they leave. In multi-patient rooms, we have curtains and the ability to disinfect even with people in the room.
Awesome. Great. So one more question, Morris. So have you considered other vertical markets besides healthcare? So for example, hospitality and restaurants, and deploying a robot in some of these restaurants after cleanup, and the people, you have an empty restaurant overnight. Any thoughts for other vertical markets?
Whataburger. Airports
Whataburger,
clearly
okay.
need this. Airlines need this. Cruise ships need this. Hotels need this. Hotels have been actively on this. I can't say which airlines, but literally three of the biggest airlines in the world we've had conversations with in the last 2 days. They've been struggling to understand what they should do because they've just never been faced with this. And we're going over some things that have to do with us. And then I'm going over a lot of things that just have to do with sort of sensibility. For example, I just said to the, I think they're the biggest, they're the airlines with the most international flights in the world. And I'm just like, look, you have to stop the touching. It's like for years, I don't touch the touch screens at the terminal. If you saw me, and if there's a pin there, I would grab like a piece of paper, and everybody looked at me like I was crazy, but I'd grab a piece of paper and I'd hold the pin to sign the credit card slip.
Right.
And they were like, what is your problem? Except I'm in this business. I understand, a pin, it's hard to do a showing of hands, but think about going into a CVS drugstore, and a lot of people have a cold. They might have the flu. Who knows what they've got? And the pharmacist is very polite, and they give you your prescription, and then you slide your credit card. And what's the last thing you have to do? You have to pick up that plastic pen, and then you have to sign the thing. And for years, I've been like, okay, you sign the slip for me. Just sign my name. I authorize it. I don't want to touch your pen. And
you get it now.
Right. I actually think they now understand, like, wow, okay. He understood that this is called a fomite. A fomite is anything that passes pathogens from one surface to another. I'll show, this is a fascinating photo, if you'll bear with me for 1 second. This is amazing. Okay. So there's a doctor named Russ Olmsted. So think about in the hospital rooms, everything that you come in contact with. So I don't know if y'all can see that, but like, you know, you'll have like commodes, you'll have computers on wheels, defibrillator carts, IV pumps, mobile dialysis, everything. So wheelchairs. So that's after it's been through sterile processing, been wiped down, and it's ready for the next patient. And those two bars recommend look at the number of colony-forming units per square inch, okay? So I'm going to just read this to you. Like a wheelchair has 2,400 colony-forming units of bacteria, viruses per square inch. I mean, it's like that bar is off the charts, and that's after it's been, quote, cleaned. So that's what they're putting you in the minute you're leaving the hospital, after they think you've recovered. And people go, God, I wonder how that person got an infection on their, you know, when they had their hip replaced. On this side is after using Xenex on all of those devices. So we made up this pod. And what this pod is, this pod is coated in 3D. It's coated in UV reflective material. And we put the robot on one side. We put the object on the other. They can just set these things up in the hallway, so it's right next to the IV pole. And we're just explaining to them, like, all of those things, just like that pin in the drugstore, those are fomites. So you don't think about it, but that IV pole, if it's not properly disinfected, and the patient before you had MRSA, and it was touched, and then the nurse moves it around while she puts in your catheter to try to get the saline solution near you, like, we're like, come on, people. This is how you're passing the pathogen. So this is my... I don't know if y'all can hear it. For 10 years, I've been frustrated because this is so incredibly logical to me. It's clear. And we have the proof from the actual hospitals that they've dropped their infection rates when they will just follow instructions.
Okay, we're almost out of time, but what I'd like to do, Morris, is tell the story about the gym. And then we'll leave it at that. That's a cute story.
Sorry, which gym? Oh, yeah. So we got called by San Antonio Academy, and you know, all of my sales reps have one of these robots. They're $100,000, and from the hospital's point of view, it costs them less than $100 a day. It costs them about $3 a room. So there's no economic reason why they're not disinfecting. But we get called by the school. And on a charitable basis, our reps or us, we're happy to go out and disinfect anything. So the athletes are getting MRSA, MRSA, methicillin-resistant staph. And we said, okay, let us disinfect all the pads, all the uniforms. We do that. And then we just said to the coaches, we're going to go into the locker room. Let's open up the lockers. Let's get the shoes out and unlace them, you know, kind of get them open. And we exposed the room, you know, the gym, and the restrooms. And, you know, little boys don't necessarily have the best aim when they use the restroom. And we disinfect it. And the coach walks in the next day, and he's like, I've been at the school for 20 years, and the locker room has never smelled this good, including the shoes, because it just destroys the bacteria that caused the odor. It's like all of a sudden when there's no odor there, when there's no bacteria there, there's no odor. And it really... You know, the one good thing that will hopefully come out of this COVID crisis, hopefully we don't lose a lot of lives, but hopefully it wakes people up to the idea of prevention as being an important strategy to protect our population. Because I can tell you, Ebola was in 2014. We're only 6 years later. This is going to happen again.
Yeah.
Well, Morris, one quick question. Kimberly posted in the chat, she's interested in purchasing stock in the company. Is it available? I'm sure there's a lot of people thinking the same thing on this call.
First of all, thank you. I appreciate that. It's a private company. It's a private company, but that's flattering, and I appreciate it.
But one day you'll let us know when you go public, correct?
Sure.
Comedy will put the word out.
You'll know it first, Linda.
Okay. And
all right. Thank you all very much. Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much. See you later, Morris.
Thanks, Morris.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye, Morris.
Bye-bye. Bye, Melissa. Bye, Malcolm.
Thank you.
Bye, Elizabeth.
Thanks, everybody. Glad you were with us. Hope you enjoyed it.